All right, before we go on, before we get on to something, you can look at, it had one window, it had one door, had three decks. So we've sort of covered that, okay? Now, what's that?
You can mention that the one door is the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's very good. This is what I picked from somewhere. Again, I'm not looking at, don't look at the design of the thing as if this is it. But just to give us an idea of its relative size, and it's approximately, they have it up to 400 to 500 feet. It's probably 450, depending on what a cubit was. But the point they're making here is that look at it in relation to the Queen Mary, the Titanic, and so on. From what I've read somewhere, that in terms of a wooden structure, I think it's supposed to be like the biggest wooden vessel that could do, could function as a vessel. That's my understanding. Okay, from a physical, those who are engineering might go and figure this out. But the bottom line is it was physically a huge vessel, and perfectly designed. Again, it gets back to the thought that, you know, Noah was pretty early on, but man had that ability at that time to do what he did. Some people still argue, how did he do this? I mean, you know, it took 120 years and so on, but I just want you to get a visual of what it might have sort of looked like in comparison. We know that Noah was instructed to bring his family in and two of every sort. This is things that we already know, birds, animals, creeping things. Something that's pretty, I mean, it seemed very simple and trivial, but he had to have food for himself, his family, and for all the animals. And another point that I think is really important, if you look in chapter, this is something that, again, you might think it's really trivial. Look in chapter 6. And you would notice there that, as I told Steve before, Noah didn't run around sort of herding up the animals. The animals came to Noah.
Verse 20.
Verse 20. Of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. So it's amazing that, again, I think God must have put that sort of, what we call a homing device in these animals. That they came, the animals came to Noah. He didn't go hunting them down. So just remember that. He brought them, God brought them, and he had to have all his food. To me, that's an incredible thing. Okay, this is a high point.
I think one thing to consider, I think our brother Steve had hit upon, I think it was on the first day, is that I think the thought here is that, as an example, if there were now in the world, there's probably 1,000 different types of foxes, right? The thought here, I think, is that, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that there was likely one form of fox, male and female, and from that, there was adaptation to the different environments to the point now where we have 1,000 different type of foxes. And I think the second point that I wanted to make with respect to this is, if you can imagine, not only did God orchestrate it such that the animals would come to Noah, but that also that they would be docile enough to sit inside, because I'm sure they were packed tightly in there. If you could imagine that the Lord was able to keep the animals docile enough to not cause mayhem inside the ark, because I can imagine things could have gone terribly wrong if God didn't orchestrate the whole thing.
You know, there's something that I'm thinking and processing. Sin came in chapter 3. Is there any evidence that the animals were violent during this period of time? There is? Do we have scripture to support that the animals were violent and eating each other and that sort of stuff? Potentially? I'm not sure. That's what I'm asking. I honestly am not sure.
Just see the curves, but...
Yeah, that's a good point.
The thought I had, I was reading through the notes in my Bible and say, take the example of giraffes. Giraffes aren't violent, but they grow to be 20 feet tall. How are they going to fit into decks? So maybe there's a possibility, like you just shown, babies instead of full-grown animals.
Yes. I mean, go ahead.
Remember that these decks, 45 feet tall, you have 15-foot decks. I mean, there are three stories. This is really a humongous, if we really had a sense, I think, of what the size of this structure was, we would probably say, wow. Think of this. It would have been, God intended that people would come in too. God, Noah was in there for 7 days before God shut him in. Before the rain came, and I might be wrong on the shut him in detail. That might have been when Noah first entered. But the point being that God was creating a way to preserve life. And I think we would probably be marveling if we really saw the real structure and those animals that came, and there was room for the food storage, mm-hmm. and all of that. It was a humongous structure.
We got to move on. Chapter 7, verse 1. I'll read it. Sorry, Jason. Sorry. Go ahead.
Another question. What about the vegetation?
What about the vegetation? In terms of what were the plants, the animal, the plants outside?
Right.
As far as we were concerned, they were covered. Eventually, they were covered by all the water.
Right.
So what happens after the flood?
Yeah, how do we get the olive branch, essentially?
The seeds were preserved mm-hmm. in the flood. Seeds can live mm-hmm. in, can live, they don't live obviously, but there were still seeds that existed, it seems. We have to assume this, I think, and based on the reading of scripture, the olive branch is the perfect example, because there were spontaneously, if you will, an olive tree growing, and obviously other things too, that were not
destroyed.
It was not impossible for plants to grow again after the flood. The ground was affected, obviously, by the water, and it took a long time for the earth to be dried where things could grow, and the dove didn't find any vegetation for a while, but it seems that we have to understand it, that just as there were sea creatures that could still be living, it seems that we can easily say that the seed-bearing plants could still be regenerated, if we could use that term, after the flood.
But that is chapter 6 and verse 7. It said, "And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." So he wasn't destroying the seed, obviously, because he hadn't given it life, if you will.
Okay.
Good.
Chapter 7, verse 1, it says, "Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation." And the question I have for you, how does that relate to us today? How can we make the application? How can we use this verse? How can it help us today when the Lord says to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household? And we only have 5 minutes, folks.
Just this is righteous before thee. Our righteousness is of faith, and he's made it possible for everyone. In the adult study, we looked at the ark as Christ, a body had God had prepared for him, and the inside is pitch. The blood was inside him, and then on the cross, the blood was shed for us. So it's pitch within and without, and we who are in there have eternal security. We're safe from all around us. And then, if you will, the room we've mentioned, there's room for all. The window, there's nothing to look around at. There's no judgment. We couldn't see the wickedness around us when we're in the dark, because we're safe. And the window was in the top. We could look up to the Lord. We didn't look around to the things of the world. And in the darkness, if you will, there's things we take by faith. We don't understand. But God shines his light down upon us and gives us light in how we walk, how to live. And then the door, there's one way to get into salvation, and that's through the Lord Jesus. Another brother mentioned it was the spear that pierced his side. There's that way in, and only that way into heaven. So righteous before me, we who accept Christ as our Savior are clothed in his righteousness, and we are seen in that.
I also have a thought here that notice it says, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Noah had an influence upon his family. And I think that the challenge for us is that some of us are not married, but we can have an influence upon others around us to escape the corruption that is all around us today, and to go to Christ as our haven, to save us through a difficult time. So that's a simple thought that we can all see here.